You're listening to Asbury University's Chapel Podcast, recorded live from our campus in Wilmore, Kentucky. Asbury's Chapel Service hosts speakers from around the world to inspire academic excellence and spiritual vitality. We hope you enjoy today's message.
Hi, guys. This is really scary. my name's Audrey Harris. I'm a member of the Beloved class. And a proud member and SLA of Second Front GC. So I grew up in a Christian household with parents and grandparents who love me and take care of me. I was very blessed to know the Lord for as long as I can remember. I was baptized at age 11. I have believed in the Lord for as long as I can remember. But I've always dealt with mental health and specifically loneliness. I was homeschooled and moved around a lot, so I didn't really stay in a community for very long. And it was just, it took a toll on me. I ended up going to a private school for a couple of years that I found my community. I was like, this is amazing. I was thriving. And it was just absolutely wonderful. But I decided that it was best for me to leave that and be homeschooled for my senior year and come here as an academy student. And that's what I did. And I watched my personality slip away. I dealt with overwhelming loneliness. I started isolating myself. I've always been a very bubbly person. I love to yap. But I started just separating myself from everybody. And that was just really, really not good for me and who I was. So I watched that personality. I just watched it fade away, and there was nothing I could do about it. I felt completely alone. It was as if the old me had died, and I was desperately trying to bring her back to life. I thought college would fix me, but it didn't. Little things would happen, and I would be like, I'm coming back to life, this is great. And then I'd realize it was a temporary thing. And I remember asking the Lord and being like, God, why? When will this end? When will I come back? And then I kind of resigned myself to being like, nope, this is who I am now. I'm alone. I can't see my notes through the tears. Anyway. The summer of 2024, I developed and got diagnosed with a chronic illness called POTS syndrome. This causes me to have a lot of problems. I have chronic fatigue. I can lose vision. My doctor tells me I can pass out if I'm not really careful. Just things like that are just constantly everyday worries of my life. And it started to take over. It started to become who I was. And I just started isolating myself even more because it's so isolating. Being sick because I thought that nobody would understand how I felt. Even people who had the same illness as me, they couldn't understand how I felt. And it shook my entire world because no one expects to wake up one day and not be able to run anymore, and not be able to take the stairs anymore. And it was just really hard for me to be the only one who couldn't do that and couldn't live a normal life. I started isolating myself even more, and I was like, all I wanted to be was alone with my sorrows. That's all I wanted. I just wanted, no one could understand, so why bother them? Over Christmas break of sophomore year, I got a little bit of help. I think I reached my breaking point with my chronic illness and thinking, I need to do something. And I got on some antidepressants, and those are wonderful. I think the Lord brings us resources like that. I believe that He brought that into my life, and I started to see myself come back a little bit. But it was really in Gather of last year. I'm very, very passionate about Gather because it changed my life. In Gather of last year, I felt really convicted that I wasn't truly living for the Lord. I was so focused on myself, and I felt like my illness was becoming who I was. I felt like it was taking over me, and that's all I could think about. was me. And I was like, why would the Lord want to talk to me? Why would he want to know me if that's all I could think about, if I'm so selfish and I'm this person? Why would he even want to speak to me? And I was just so torn up about it. And we were reading about the bread of life. And I was like, he wants to be our bread of life. He's offering it. He's not giving it out of some reluctance. He wants this for you. He wants this for me. He wants this for you. And it just, I started thinking, if I thought about the Lord every time that I reached for my water bottle, you know, how much better my life would be. If he truly became my bread of life, that's what I wanted. And so I made this decision. I was going to learn everything that I could about this bread of life. I wasn't going to stay stagnant anymore. And I'm continually on a journey with the Lord. That wasn't my only step of the way. Just recently, I realized that I was living for people and what their opinions of me. I'm a chronic people pleaser. It's just how it is. But I decided I realized what havoc it was wreaking on my life. I was a bundle of anxiety because I was so focused on what other people thought about me, and I was trying to balance what the Lord was telling me from what, you know, people were telling me. And I remember I broke down one day and I was like, Lord, I'm ready to live for you. I'm ready for this because I've tried living for people. I've tried living for their opinion, and it's horrible, and it doesn't work, and it only ends in sorrows. But living for the Lord, it has brought me so much joy. I'm not healed from my chronic illness. I think a lot of people think that the Lord's faithfulness looks like healing, and healing in the way that we expect it to be. A lot of people think, you know, like, if the Lord was truly faithful to you, if the Lord truly loved you, you wouldn't be sick anymore. And I think that's ridiculous, because I have seen the Lord's faithfulness in every aspect of my life, and I am still sick. It is still something I deal with every single day. And yet I have seen him. I have seen him move. And the Lord has brought me back to life. And that is not something I deserve. That is not something he has owed me. It's just something he's given me. I am better than I have ever been. I am much, much, much happier in my sick body, broken as I am, than I ever was in my healthy body. And that can only be the Lord. I have already seen the Lord use my illness to heal parts of me. And I have seen him use that to help others. I am now a lot more confident in like what I say and what I do. I now know a little bit more, like, I've dealt with this, I can help other people who are dealing with it, and I'm very passionate about it. I think, you know, if you are struggling with a physical or mental illness or problems, just, like, find help. The worst thing you could do is nothing. Like, we are here for you. If you want to talk to me, I'm here. I love to yap. I would love to talk with you and get to know you and help in any way that I can. But I believe that, you know, the Lord will use what has happened to me. You know, I'm at peace with my illness. And that doesn't mean that I'm not going to keep fighting for things that make me feel better, because I think that's very important. That just means I'm not going to sit around and wait for a miracle and wallow in my sorrows, because I believe that the Lord will use it. I believe that the Lord will use what the enemy meant for evil, and he will turn it for good. I've recently received a call to ministry. I don't really know what that means. I'm in the phase of like trying to figure it out right now, but I believe the Lord will use my story, and I believe that I'm just ready to say yes. Whatever he does, I'm ready. I'm ready to live for the Lord, because living for people brings nothing, but living for the Lord brings so much joy. I'm still sick. I'm not healed. And yet the Lord is faithful in every other aspect of my life. So thank you.
What's up, guys? My name is Funky. Legally, that's my last name. So, that wasn't the right password. That sucks. I'm pretty nervous, so I want to make some small talk. But I'm an RA and trustees of GLAAD Guild. No. I'm from New York. Yeah, so being from New York, I believe in being real and raw with people. So here we go. I was not born into a Christian household. My family was described as cultural Catholics, which means we went to Mass like a couple times a year, and that was it. So there was no personal relationship with Jesus in my life or really in my parents' lives. Family was pretty normal, like loving parents and everything. Everything was always provided for. But my dad and my mom had this resentment towards their families for issues and stuff, and it caused a lot of bitterness in the household, and that came out in different forms of anger. And I called my dad before this. I'm like, "Dad, how would you describe our house?" And he's like, "Well, let me tell you a story. I was putting together something in the basement, and you were like three, and I was getting really mad, and I said, 'God,' and you finished it with, you can imagine." And he said, "What kind of household am I creating where my three-year-old son can go bar for bar and cuss words with me and knows about flipping people off on the road when they cut daddy off?" So it all kind of changed with my dad when his dad died. He started to question, like, okay, what happens after you die? What goes on? Why did this happen? And that led him to Jesus. So he got saved when I was around 8 years old, started taking us to church, or as I would describe it, dragging us to church. I was too little to understand what a personal relationship with Jesus looked like. I just knew at church they had food and games. And as an 8-year-old boy, I was down. I was in. I couldn't tell you one Bible lesson that I learned. I do remember, though, my first salvation. They called me up on stage because they knew I wasn't a Christian, and they handed me a form and said, "Fill it out. Congratulations, you're saved." The gospel was not preached to me. It was a form. I was told I had to share that because it was funny. As I got older, things started to harden my heart a little bit more. Still going to church with my family, still not interested, didn't want anything to do with it. And middle school rolls around, and that's when, like, I started to distance myself from God and, like, even the possibility of wanting a relationship with Him. Seventh grade was the first time I get sexually abused. Couldn't comprehend what was going on. The mind of a teenage boy, I couldn't really understand why and what was going on. Next year, second time it happens. And I'm like, all right, I don't want anything to do with God. If God is this way, I want nothing to do with Him. High school rolls around, hardened my heart even more. And the way my high school goes is like, all right, there's these two middle schools and they combine into one high school. So I get introduced to this whole new group of people that I've never met before. It just so happens that I start running with the wrong crowd. So within the first week, this guy comes up to me, and he's like, "Hey, man, you want to make some money?" I'm like, "Yeah, absolutely." And he tells me, "All right, we're gonna go sell some drugs. I got a guy, and we're gonna go do this." And at the time, I was obsessed with like this culture and like the movies and everything, so this was like a dream for me. That day, I felt this hole in my heart open up. And I can only describe it as like when you're really, really hungry, but you don't know what you want to eat. Like, I wanted that for my life. I wanted something so bad to fill this hole in my heart, but I couldn't put my finger on it. So I'm thinking like, all right, I'm going to solve it with drugs. And I start going deeper and deeper into that world. And I'm like, no, I'm going to solve it with money. I had more money than I could ever want. And it still didn't fill the hole in my heart. I thought, all right, parties and relationships, oh, that's going to solve it. No. I just kept going deeper and deeper and deeper into this world, and this hole just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. One day, my parents come up to me. They're like, "Hey, we're going to go check out this new church. Like, I know you've been going to this old one for a while, and you might like it, but if you want to come, you can tag along. They got this youth group if you want to come check it out." I'm like, oh yeah, sick. My first initial thought is like, all right, these gullible Christians, man, they're gonna buy all my drugs. Man, they don't know nothing about this. I go to this youth group, and it was so welcoming, like nothing I've ever experienced before. I walked in and just got so angry with these people. Like, why are you so loving to me? Like, it's so weird. And I start cussing them out, and I'm getting angry with them. And still, they're like, hey, why don't you come in and worship with us? I'm like, oh, fine, whatever. And for some reason, I kept going back, just week after week. Every time they were welcoming, just like, come on in, man. Never had something so personal and heart-wrenching before. So one night, pastor preaches the gospel. Man, Jesus loves you so much. All you gotta do is believe in him. Repent and believe. I went home that night, did whatever I did in my room and everything. I laid down and I'm twiddling my thumbs. And I'm like, all right, what does this mean? I just start bawling, just the love of God over me, bawling. And I couldn't like push myself up to get on the ground. I had to like roll. And I'm on my face on my ground, just high out of my mind. I'm like, all right, God, I want you. I want this. And that night in my bedroom, around 1, 2 in the morning, I gave my life to Jesus. Right then, that hole in my heart that I tried to fill with money, relationships, everything else, it was filled. I've never had that hunger in my heart since. Got up the next morning, told my guys, I'm like, all right, I'm done. I'm not hanging out with you anymore. And they're like, no, you can't do that. This is going to mess everything up. You can't do that. Man, we're gonna do things to you. We're going to do things to your family. Like, you are not leaving. I'm like, I'm sorry, guys. By the grace of God, nothing has happened. Not a hair on my head or my family's head was harmed. So I make this 180, basically, of being this really horrible person to the weird Christian guy in school. Like, I'm carrying my Bible everywhere. Like, I'm sitting in, like, the lunchroom reading my Bible. Like, hey, can I pray for you? And it was just like a 180, but I've never been so happy in my life. A few months after giving my life to Christ, I get baptized. And the night before, my dad comes up to me. He's like, hey, I know you want the youth pastor to baptize you, but I would love the opportunity to. And I said, okay, all right, whatever. So that night comes. I'm sitting in the tub. I'm going to try not to cry because I freaking love my dad. So that night comes. I'm sitting in the baptism tub, and he's on my left. Church is out there in front, kind of like where you guys are. And he says to me, like, you always ask if I'm proud of you. And I'm so proud of you right now. I think about that once a week, because it's probably the most special moment in my life that I can remember. Is my dad, who was a wretch and ran from God for 40 plus years, is now baptizing his son, who was a wretch, and like the prodigal son, arms wide open, he's welcoming. Like he wanted me to come home. He saw the hurt in my life, and he just wanted me to come back to Jesus. So I graduate high school, go to a big state school, big party school. Not my deal. Probably shouldn't be in that crowd. So I leave. Go back home, start working. Humble plug, I got a job with the Bills as a strength coach. That was really cool. And I'm scrolling in, I'm in church, all right? I'm scrolling on my phone, and I see this revival at Asbury. I'm like, whoa, this is crazy. All these college students worshiping God, that's pretty cool. So I went home. I'm like, Dad, I gotta go to Kentucky. Like, I don't know why, but I gotta go. So next day, drove to Kentucky, to a state I've never been to, in the middle of nowhere, to worship with like 50,000 people that I've never met. And it was the coolest experience ever. And I didn't want to go back to school. I was done with school. I was making money. Like, I was fine. But God told me, apply. And I'm a pretty stupid person. And like, this is a really smart school. So it's a miracle that I got in. But like, that was probably the greatest decision, one of the greatest decisions I've ever made, applying here, because this is a wonderful community. Probably the best friends I've ever made here. So let me just end with this. All right. It took me 16 years for someone to share the gospel with me. Some of you guys have friends that you've been friends with for 16 years. And have you shared the gospel with them? Guys, there is a God in heaven who loves you so much. He sees the sin in your life, and he wants to bridge that gap. So Jesus comes down, dies on the cross for you, is buried, and is raised from the dead. That is the greatest story ever. And all you just have to believe in him, guys. I am telling you, if you don't know Jesus, do it. Believe in him. Like, it is it's the best decision you can ever make. He loves you guys so much. So, all right, see ya.